You're listening to Around Comics, episode 121.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic book roundtable, where twice a week you'll hear a revolving panel of guests discuss comic books and graphic novels. On every Monday episode like this one, we'll go over the week in comics news, review our favorite books from the previous week, and take a look at what's coming up in the next week. I'm Christopher Niesman, and let me introduce you to the rest of the panel. Joining me, as always, is Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
The Marvel exclusive artist, Mr. Scotty Young.
Superstar. I really like you guys, but I do have a new BFF. It's Braxton. Braxton Harrison is my new BFF. I don't know if he knows it yet. I've decided.
He's decided that he's your new...
No, Braxton. I mean, he and... His wife's a different story, but Braxton, right at this moment, is my BFF.
It's complicated.
Yeah. Because I love... he is
we'll find
a
out
great
more
guy.
About we'll find
that.
Out more
yeah.
later.
Yeah. Also joining us back after a week on assignment is Mr. Tom Cater.
On assignment at Wisconsin
Dells. I was experimenting with drinking outside on Fridays. I was the only person in the land of the Winkies to vote against the Tin Woodman to be the leader.
I'm fuck are you talking
the Wizard of Oz book.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, Tom emailed me.
Schanhauer just...
When Harry Potter comes out, Tom's like, screw that. I'm going hardcore old school.
Yeah. Tom emailed me, was it yesterday? We sent emails back and forth for about a half hour of Tom just going, awesome. I'm reading now. They're so awesome.
I bought all of them off eBay.
How many are there?
14.
And how many are you through at this point?
I'm like on the fourth one. We watched Return to Oz, and then I was like, you know what? I read all those when I was a kid. I should go buy them.
Are they long books? Are they
no short?
They're
no,
really short. Easy
yeah,
to read.
They're very quick.
It's like the Chronicles of Narnia. You know, they're like interesting books, but they're very condensed stories. Like there's no like so much happens in every chapter that it just.
It's like in Narnia, where, you know, if people who have seen the movie don't realize that if they haven't read the books, like the big battles don't actually ever take place in the books.
Like,
it's
just
like,
the
and then a battle,
happened,
and then, and then they talk about whatever, but yeah.
Well, pick up pick them up.
Yeah. There's audio books, too, they are hard to find sometimes, the books, right?
The books are actually out of print.
Yeah.
The cheap paperback ones are. So, there's
that
a word of warning.
Bizarre.
We also put up the crank signal tonight, and it was
the crank
answered.
Crank signal.
Hi, I just showed up.
Is one half of the crank cast, Mr. Chris Crank. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. I apologize for any cheese at breath.
We all have.
Oh, look at Chris. You're already fucking apologizing.
He's already had like four beers.
I feel bad about the bear.
I'm so sorry.
For everything I'm about to say, I am sorry.
People don't know how blitzed Crank was before he got here, though. He's at home crying. I need to go somewhere.
Mike's gone. He's in San Diego.
I know.
I got no anchor. You know?
As soon as you called, Crank called earlier when we were recording something, and he says, are the AC guys in San Diego? I was like, no, they're here. You want to come on over? Oh, yeah. And then I got off the phone and they go, oh, Mike's gone.
yeah. You know, what can I say?
We'll be your surrogate.
Poor Crankenhogger.
Mr.
McCrankin.
Okay, Crank's not weird
Castle
enough. You have to
McCrankin.
Go like and go Crank further.
Well, everybody was pulling out different nationality
Irish,
versions of your name.
With,
so,
oh, Crankin,
yeah,
Crankenharder,
yeah, Crankenferger.
My mother's maiden name,
Crankenstein.
No, I guess
gotten
I should
that.
Probably announce that.
Crankio.
No. Crankio.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into the news here, I do want to let everyone know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
Sink your teeth into the story that introduced the world to Anita Blake Vampire Hunter. Get your copy of Guilty Pleasures by Laurel K. Hamilton at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the tastiest fantasy novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com or at around.
I've always wanted to write a joke story about someone who writes a vampire story and then they get told to sex it up. Because, you know, the one thing that vampire stories always lack is, like, eroticism.
Hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot.
Yeah, never.
Female vampire.
Yeah, never.
I have a story about going to a Borders to try to get a copy of the Anarchist Cookbook and being denied.
Really?
I'll do that later.
What the fuck does that have to do with what we're talking about?
Yeah. Terrorists?
Borders? Hello?
Oh, get online.
Okay. Okay. Wow, he just threw an elbow at Tom Cater.
Throwing bows.
Yeah.
Throw them bows.
Well, unless you pin me in 2 weeks, I'm not even
I got a PDF
bucks.
Of it if you need it. I can send you. Don't worry about it.
Well, it was back when I was a teenager.
Can you find it here?
No, it's not here.
No, but you know what you can find at Dark Tower Comics?
Comics.
Around Beatty. Comics.
A giant Thor bust.
Yeah, a giant Thor head.
I got a cap shield up front.
Oh, I didn't see the
Rocketeer's helmet.
The cap shield.
The big cap shield
right. Oh, I'm going to have to buy that.
Well, Around Comics was recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles.
He's already ringing you up.
We are located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would
We had a huge group of people that dropped by and then they all left.
They all left.
They all left us. Yeah.
I showed up.
Chris here.
Chris is here.
I got nowhere else to go.
Oh, boy.
The other people decided the 2 hours of geek was enough on a Friday night, and they're out enjoying their lives.
Yeah, they're probably going to do like cool stuff like sex, have sex with stuff.
With stuff?
Or people.
With stuff?
Well, we know Steve is.
Yeah.
So.
Trees. Trees are, yeah, it's a little rough. Trees are rough.
Soda bottles, whatever, you know.
Well, I tell you what, there a lot of news. It's we're going to go over the Thursday, Friday announcements from San Diego, ones that
like
piqued our interest.
Every 3 seconds, there's another news story.
I know. I've got
San Diego news.
Are you current?
Somebody walked.
I'm writing. Joss Whedon took a shit.
I'm writing a book for DC, and it got canceled already. Yeah. But it's sold out.
The idea sold out.
The idea sold out from
And Dad. It was optioned.
Yes. It was optioned, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, let's jump into it. It is time for Wire to Wire comic book news.
Wire to Wire comic book news.
All right, San Diego. This is one.
He's on down.
We stop Wizard. With the Wizard of Oz.
He's on down cast. The road.
Oh, was awesome.
We look towards San Diego every year as being the con that has all the big announcements.
Fuck and, them.
It is going to be the busiest news.
San
week.
Diego can blow me.
Wouldn't you think that at a show that has so much news, mm-hmm. you'd be probably like, wow, if I really want people to pay attention to what I had.
I'd do it the
release.
Week before or the week after.
Yeah, because, I mean, your news stays news for about 3 minutes before another news story like...
If I was Dan DiDio, I would call me directly.
Yeah, every fan.
You would call Dan DiDio?
No, just call me.
Oh, just Caters.
Well, it's kind of funny because, I mean, we've talked about it, that the last month, our news shows, we've really kind of been scraping for news. It's
really?
Tell
yeah.
me about it.
That is a shock.
Hey.
Companies save stuff up.
No, no way.
There's no announcements the month leading up to San Diego, and then it's just, you know, they open up the floodgates. There's been announcements like every 20 minutes.
Jesus is writing a book for Marvel.
Nothing
yeah.
stands
And it
out.
Sold out.
Yeah.
And
not
God
only that, but
editor.
Judas is also writing a book for Marvel. It's crazy.
I know. Oh.
Judas is at DC. Judas says at DC he betrayed Jesus.
He's a dark
He was going to draw Jesus' book. Judas was, but at last second he signed a DC exclusive.
Oh, that bastard.
Mary Magdalene has
and he's
betrayed
gonna,
it.
They're bring, he's bringing Preacher back. Judas is.
Mary Magdalene's doing a creator-owned work at an Image.
No, IDW, because it got optioned already.
And it's $3.99.
Yeah, it's called it's called Dirty Whore.
And it's more expensive.
Oh, my.
She was.
Oh, my.
Wow. We've gone
oh, come
off.
On.
Oh, what? Just because the comic book shop just got hit by lightning and burst into flames at the same time.
I am stepping back from this conversation.
Step away
I just vomited up blood. That's nuts.
My chances of ending up anywhere other than hell are pretty slim as it is. I don't think I need to compound that with... Your
blasphemous
talk.
Mary Magdalene?
What? Marilyn Magdalene?
All right, enough whore talk. All right, let's talk about some comic books.
Jesus.
That was Scotty's favorite character.
The Eternals
the
is going to be an ongoing series from Marvel. It's no artist has been assigned. But
it's being written by Pontius Pilate.
This quote would say, wash my hands. High five, show over.
Yeah. Fuck you, I'm going home.
That was obvious. That was obvious setup.
So, for folks that enjoyed the Neil Gaiman and John Romita Jr. Eternals miniseries, it's going to be going into an ongoing. So, I enjoyed that most of that series.
I'm curious about the art, though, because the art in the Eternals is as good as Gaiman was. To me, more of the draw was the John Romita Jr. art.
Yeah.
So, I'll be curious to see who's doing the art.
You need some Kirby Crackle in the Eternals. And it's got
2Ks. 3 days, actually. Kirby Crackle Scott. I'm glad the quality of our shows have gone up.
Yeah, definitely.
We missed you, Tom.
Sorry, it's my fault.
The next story is near and dear to my heart because I came into comics because of Doctor Who. That was the first comic I ever bought.
Really?
And Doctor Who
about this?
Is...
I have no idea what the hell Doctor Who is. Everybody's always talking about it.
A television
you have
program.
To check out the new series. It's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. So IDW announced that Doctor Who is their newest property, and they're going to start by a mini series, and it sounds like they're going to do the model of the ongoing mini series that it'll be like each adventure will be a
and
new series.
And they're also going to be reissuing the Dave Gibbons drum comics from the past.
Those are the ones
with new coloring.
I wonder if there will be old coloring or
new coloring.
I bet. New.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I would imagine. Yeah.
Dude, the Dave Gibbons.
I'll put it out there.
Old school Doctor Who comics were awesome.
Really?
They were. Nobody draws a Cyberman like Dave Gibbons.
What the fuck is that?
Dark Horse Presents is coming back, but it's going to come back online. So fans of the old Dark Horse Presents.
On MySpace,
series,
right?
Yes, it's tied in with MySpace.
Have you guys checked out? The
I did check it out.
No, I don't know about the site, but I only read the Joss Whedon book or the Joss Whedon strip, and that was awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm not the content. Really I'm not cool. doubting, but the fact that it's on MySpace is a little.
MySpace has a big comics presence.
Yeah, just the layout of it, like the way you have to scroll through the book.
I was a little
in the
back,
window,
but I kind of liked it actually because I kind of liked how it worked. I mean, it was a little weird at first. Like, what? I was trying to scroll sideways.
Right.
I couldn't figure out how to get to the other stories at first. I was like,
yeah, that's, yeah. I was with you because like, I kept clicking it, and I was like, why does this page keep refreshing itself?
Yeah, I don't know why. Where? How do I get to the other story?
Yeah.
Huh?
It takes a little learning.
Once you figure it out, was it cool?
The stories were cool. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I always liked DHP. I mean, like back when I was, early 90s and like mid 90s and crap like that. I mean, DHP had some really awesome
stuff. Sin City?
I think I based one of my first websites off of like a DHP cover with this like crazy checkerboard thing or whatever. Okay. But, you know, I mean, that was always a really great place to find like new stuff.
Right.
You know?
And that's what they're kind of trying to do with this, is new artists and new writers.
It'd be nice to
although
see
the first
them
one's
do
Joss
have
Whedon.
A MySpace presence alongside of a more functional website. Because, I mean, MySpace is cool for what it is, but at the same time, MySpace can get a little annoying.
Well, I hate MySpace.
Well, I think...
the only reason I keep my presence there is because I have a really cool URL, you know? I mean, that's the only reason, honestly.
Well, I think, like, if they met with a lot of success from that, I think they would probably think about,
Well,
they're talking about eventually.
Websites are so cheap, anyway. It's not like
they're talking about eventually, like the stuff might see print and stuff like that too. You know,
I that'd mean, be cool. Good for them.
Material looks good so far.
All right,
check in. It's free.
Yeah,
moving
it's free.
On and actually moving out. Darwin Cook and Jay Bone are wrapping up their run on the Spirit
that
at
sucks.
Issue number 12. No creative team has been named to take over. Darwin Cook did allude to the fact that he's working on some creator-owned stuff, and if you read the press release, he's obviously a little bitter about the direct market, about the
I don't think it was a press release. It was just information from a panel. Yeah.
Okay,
and he talked about how he's sort of as far as mainstream superhero stuff, he's sort of done with it.
Well, see, the thing is, I think this could be potentially good for both fans of Darwin Cook and Darwin Cook, because I think he, you know, you read something like New Frontier and you read all this stuff, he's obviously someone who has like a very unique vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good for him, almost in a sense, to have outgrown the direct market at this point. It doesn't mean he can't at some point go back to it.
Right.
And say, like, well, now I'm going to go back, you know, like, when he's gone and done his original stuff. And say, well, you know, I want to go back and do a Green Lantern book.
Right.
And then be okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, and be like, well, I'll do a Green Lantern book.
With Darwin Cook's style of art, which is very cartoon, you know, animated based.
He's a cartoonist.
He is a cartoonist. And that is always a struggle in the direct market because, you know, comics have got to this place where it seems to be more about realism and the true cartoonists are almost seen as either kiddie or a joke
or pop art like Allred.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Hey, four years ago, if I had seen Darwin Cook's stuff, I honestly probably wouldn't have liked it. He is my favorite artist.
We should also say that we know this story. Newsarama had mistakenly
said
that this was canceled.
Right.
So for anybody who's listening who thinks that this was that they're done and it's canceled, it will keep going.
From the one fill-in issue where they had the three different creators.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily buy a book done by any.
Cook had
a very good handle on how to do the. Right. He has such a strong, unique style of his own that he can take something like The Spirit, which is Eisner's baby, but it's still Darwin Cook doing The Spirit, which you can buy into that. In the fill-in issue, I got a lot of... I never got that strong enough flavor from one person to be overwhelming enough to be like, well, I can buy the spirit.
I buy the spirit because of Darwin Cook.
Oh, sure. The thing that I thought was interesting was that I remember reading that he had to really fight tooth and nail for the New Frontier.
Yeah, it was absolute.
He talked about it. They wanted nothing to do with that book. They didn't want to do it. They didn't like the idea of it. And he had to really fight. And then it became really successful afterwards, and it's just surprising now.
It's like
the guy wouldn't
really
have sort of carte blanche to do whatever he'd want after something that successful. Yeah. It seems kind of surprising.
Well, also, you see a lot of people say that the New Front, that the Spirit sales weren't that great. But it was selling at like 25,000, which, to be honest, I know a lot
it's
of people...
Not bad.
Today's market's
not
pretty
bad
good.
For
not
a
at,
book.
At Marvel or DC, 25,000 is very bad, actually. It's not a good
number.
Well,
not bad for, I think, an idea that people had... People were predicting that it would not sell
right.
at all.
I think Darwin Cook and the similar artists that are... Jesus. The artists that are in his... That use that kind of style or similar to that... I honestly don't feel that the companies have a grasp on how, or because we
what
we,
to do with them,
what to do with it, how to market it,
yeah.
And again, because we exist in such a direct market situation that they're like, well, how do we market this to 30-year-olds,
right.
Which is it should be mass marketed to all ages from 5 years old to 40 or whatever, you know what I mean? But I've seen other similar artists and writers that do projects like that, like the New Frontier or stuff like that, where they just run into a roadblock because it is so different than the books that we're used to seeing.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do with it. Who will buy this? They actually get a little scared.
Yeah,
obviously, New Frontier comes out. Like you said, people do enjoy it.
It's uncomfortably odd.
It surprises everyone except like the people that buy it, because New Frontier was... An awesome story. It was like a fantastic story to read.
It was my favorite book that came out probably in 10 years, maybe.
It was really good.
But I think it's good in a way because we're going to see Cook do his own thing.
Yeah,
and then doesn't mean that at some point
he won't come back.
And for everyone,
I say
like,
good for him. Yeah. I think.
Yep.
I am a person. I mean, it's a reason why I'm not doing conventions this year is to sit at home and work on the creator stuff.
Right.
I am a person who tries my best to encourage all creators to, sit down
and build
your own stuff.
I mean, it's just
stuff.
For me, it's just a completely selfish thing of wanting to
I
see
want
more
spirit. I want more Darwin.
But you know,
exactly. I want more Darwin Cook doing, Superman or.
But you'll get Darwin Cook, even more Darwin Cook than you've ever understood.
Yeah,
you should be.
Yeah.
You know.
No, no.
You
I
actually
you
won't
mean.
Understand how much you've probably missed.
And also,
of his.
Yeah. I mean, if you're like, Darwin Cook isn't doing Green Lantern. Well, maybe 10 years from now, Darwin Cook's put out five awesome graphic novels. And right. He goes, well, I'll do a Green Lantern
I need a quick
story.
Paycheck. You
know? And then he goes and does it, and you'll be fine. It's not a big deal.
I'm going to cry.
I tell you what, I just stumbled across this one. This kind of just in.
They break
just
news.
Here's the new EIC.
Mr. and Mrs.
Boom
President
Studios.
And all the ships at sea.
Mark Wade.
Wow.
Mark Wade is the new EIC of Boom Studios.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So Ross Ritchie is stepping down?
Well, no, he was
EIC,
informal.
Or I guess he wasn't, yeah. He
was never actually an
so
EIC.
He's
how
the owner.
That, Wade not doing DC stuff anymore?
No, apparently he still has external commitments. According to the news that I saw earlier, his external commitments are, like, he's still honoring them.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's gone away or anything.
Right.
He's going to be the editor of Boom.
Oh, Boom.
Wow.
Interesting.
It's, well, yeah, that's a, when I read that today, I was very, like,
Wade.
It seems wild, too, because this is nothing against Boom, of course, but we've seen so many of the smaller upstart studio slash publisher
right.
slash company come and go over the years that it sure. is shocking when you see somebody of his stature jump over to that. Yeah. And maybe that'll mean good things for it.
I don't think it can mean anything but good things for
Well, I mean, we were talking about it before. It's, I mean, he gets a chance to be in control of
yeah.
a line,
right.
of
yeah.
an entire, like, situation. Like,
and they
make
need
his
someone,
mark like a,
need...
like a shooter, like a, you know, whatever.
Well, that
like,
means if you're yeah. a fan of Mark Wade, that he's going to have a little bit of, you know, that
right.
that means a lot to Boom because it means he's going to have a little bit of touch.
Right.
And
everything.
You know,
well,
know,
I think when Boom, I hope that... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, when Boom first came around, I thought a lot of their books were extremely good, and then they seemed to fall in that same problem that a lot of smaller publishers do, and they started just pumping out work.
Right.
And the quality, I felt, went down, the writing quality of the writing went down, the quality of the artwork went down, and there was just too many titles, and I think they need somebody to come in and sort of straighten it out. Because I think they had,
right.
a lot of good ideas initially, and I think their first year was fantastic, but then it was like they seemed to do too much too quickly or something. But
Boom's been coming on strong as far as being able to... I mean, they had Eureka produced last year for Sci-Fi Channel.
Sure.
They have signed more deals with, you know, Hollywood people to have things produced and stuff like that. And they're coming on really strong on that end. Wade's totally going to help them in the comic book market because
sure.
he understands comics. So as far as, like, getting their... solidifying their foothold in the comic book market...
It's certainly a huge advantage
shit,
for them to have a name like him, you know, attached to them as their EIC.
The proof will be in the product.
Certainly.
A name of somebody who is in a position of power... I mean, that will hold... I think that will hold over... I mean, we'll see what he... Hopefully,
it'll
he'll
have
be able
an,
really...
It'll have an initial
yeah, right.
boost.
But,
to
I mean, unless the product itself
well,
is... Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
a guy,
and
a guy this... As
traditionally
a,
don't always see fans follow even top-name creators to independent books. It's like, you know,
right.
Bendis writes the number one selling book in comics. Is New Avengers still number one selling book?
I don't know.
But numbers on Powers, you know, those readers don't follow him to that book.
Well,
so.
I mean, I think that what was a couple years ago, The Shades of Gray or Gray, you know, John Romita Jr.
John Romita Jr.'s.
Yeah, I mean, here's a guy who is a major
yeah.
superstar in comics, and his first ever creator owned project, I think, was
yeah,
that
probably.
Was it. And yeah, I mean, it just doesn't...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's where I say... I like the fact that that will happen as well, though. I think people should follow quality of story, not follow names.
Mm-hmm.
So for this, I hope that people don't follow and go to that company because Mark Wade happens to be in an office at the, you know, the top floor of the company. I hope that they follow... and go over there because Mark
I'm thinking
Wade
of like the Boom Studios
right.
tower.
Right. You know? No, obviously, that's just a metaphor. But
in California.
Like, hopefully,
which
they will
no.
follow and go to the company because Mark Wade will help make the product more
better.
Entertaining
yeah,
and
sure.
better. I mean, people should always follow
quality
and yeah. not namesake.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about Wade is, I mean, Wade's not just like, I mean, he didn't just come from being a writer to all of a sudden he's
an editor.
I mean, he was an editor.
Yeah, yeah.
He's, you know,
a lot of writers.
He's
that,
done a lot of stuff.
A
you know?
Lot
what
of
I mean?
A lot of writers. Have been editors in the past that yeah. of companies that as if you're a newer comic book fan you probably wouldn't know have ever existed. I mean, there's a lot of writers out there who started their careers out as editors.
Well, Tom, I wonder if he's going to be he's taking over Flash, right?
Well, The rumor is he's only doing it for like 4 or 5 issues.
Okay.
And then someone else is taking it over.
Well, speaking of the Flash, there is a Flash Rogues book that has been announced, and that is the Salvation Run. It's looking like a 7 issue miniseries penned by Bill Willingham that's going to focus on Tom's favorite gallery of villains.
Those are my favorite villains. I think Bill Willingham could do a good job with that, because the one thing I really love about Fables, and I think it almost shares a trait with the people that have written the Rogues the best, like Geoff Johns, is like his ability to write bad people that you can sympathize with. You know, Prince
giving them enough character.
Prince Charming in Fables isn't necessarily a great guy,
sure.
But over time you sort of forget.
Jack
that he's
is a prick.
Yeah. You
know,
sort of forget that he's an
Jack's
asshole.
Out for himself,
you know,
yeah.
And that's sort of the way you have to approach, because the Rogues aren't like Lex Luthor. They're not like these world. They're like sort of pricks that have fancy weapons that they, you know,
sure.
that they made. So the way you have to approach it is they're sort of these guys who have their own very realistic goals. You know, they're not out to take over the world. They're just like, I'm going to rob a bank.
I want some money.
Which is harder to write in a way, because it's not so flamboyant.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, earlier today when I heard rumors about this, I was like, oh, Geoff Johns should write that. But actually, I think Bill Willingham could do a really good job, because he knows how to write bad people not in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
To, like, make him sympathetic.
And I also think he knows how to write smaller characters in a more interesting, you know, making them more interesting and more dramatically accessible, sort of, you know. If you look at, like, Shadow Pack, where it's, I mean, those characters aren't anybody.
You're saying Detective Chimp isn't.
He's not an A-lister, my friend.
That's
A-list in my heart.
I know, yeah. But, you know, he's able to make them more interesting characters, so.
Another new project announced is Josh Dysart. Dysart worked on Violent Messiahs. He's done some Swamp Thing.
I don't know who he is, and I don't care.
And he works with Avril Lavigne.
Oh, yeah. Wow! Okay.
Cool. In that case,
that should be a great story.
Skater Boy, the
well,
comic.
He's going to be doing a new interpretation
later,
of
God,
the Unknown Soldier for Vertigo.
Well, he's cool now.
I like Unknown Soldier a lot.
What about the Unknown Soldier in Uganda, or
well,
Uganda?
As long as he parachutes in with all the bandages on his face.
Well, he does. It is the bandaged unknown soldier, but it looks like
that's
this is
need.
Going to be a story that takes place in Uganda.
Interesting.
So, yeah, a definite different
Tom,
spin
it's like
on
it's
that.
Like somebody just like looked into your
goes
dreams.
Goes into my mind and says,
figured
what
out
Tom want
what does Tom want
to read?
Let's see. Let's do an unknown
if you've
soldier.
Never read,
let's do a new Rogues.
If
and
you've
then
never read an Unknown Soldier Showcase, the Unknown Soldier Showcase is some of the best war comics.
I haven't read it.
You
I'll
should
have
pick
to
it
check
up.
It out.
It's really
and then
well,
there, wasn't there a rumor about some new All-Star Squadron?
All-Star Squadron.
That might be coming out.
And also it's shown by the fact that DC sales keep dropping. What does Tom like to read? Nothing that other people
nothing anyone
that's
else.
That's the way it always is, though, isn't it?
Yeah, nothing that'll sell.
Well, talking about things that we like, and this is something that Sal likes in War Comics, the 12... It's a 12-issue miniseries by J. Michael Straczynski and Chris Weston. It's all of the Golden Age Marvel heroes. So
Golden Age Marvel heroes?
Yeah, it's going to be Namor, Captain America.
Oh, they weren't Marvel heroes.
All the this is all like, you know, timely and Atlas. So, and it's all of the folks that were the foundation for the Marvel Universe.
And just call it the damn Invaders already and do it. Why are they teasing me?
They are teasing you, because this is
it's Namor, Cap, Tor. Is it going to be Toro and, you know, the Human Torch, too? But they're going to call it 12 Heroes.
It is a list of some very obscure characters.
All right, so. Well.
The gay
but
blade.
They're getting closer.
I'll probably dig it.
Well, you know the teaser.
Is it World War II? Is there Nazis getting punched?
I think
that's
so.
All I give a shit about.
Well, you know the teaser pictures that they've been showing with like Cap and Namor and all these people that you didn't know.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
The 12.
That's what they're doing.
That's the 12.
Damn it!
Some dude
awesome.
With a mustache.
Why would
and a skirt.
They'll do All Star Squadron, the Unknown Soldier, but they can't do a fucking Invaders book for me. Just one.
It's coming, dude.
Well, didn't Image announce a couple weeks ago that they're doing a bunch of like Golden Age. Books like what's his name? Eric Larson bought like a bunch of Golden Age titles, and then they're going to redo them.
This is the same thing like with the Alan Moore when he did Terra Obscura, where he took all those old Golden Age characters, and always you always think, oh, this will be totally awesome, and then you see the characters, and you go, I completely understand why I don't know why this character
and why they were able to buy him for like a buck and a pop tart. Yeah.
I now understand why I don't know who this character is.
I was really excited about Terra Obscura, but yeah, then I read it.
And you're like, these are all characters are obviously cannot be popular.
Well, okay, here's an obscure character. Tom, do you know who Madame Xanadu is?
Yeah, she's the woman who reads tarot cards and. Her eyes are always getting plucked out and shit like that.
Well, Matt Wagner is going to be doing a new series called Madame Xanadu
she
from Vertigo.
She hates Phantom Stranger, too.
Who doesn't?
Don't quite know why.
Why wouldn't she? He's not awesome.
Phantom Stranger. He sucks.
Phantom Stranger, he always just shows up.
He's
he doesn't
not
want
zero
to join
cool.
your group. He doesn't. And he'll tell you right away, even though I'm
not here to join you. I'm just
That's
here to give you some
shit.
Advice.
Well, he's
That's
a
some
Phantom
deep
Stranger.
Shit.
I mean.
He's useless. Thanks for nothing, Phantom Stranger.
So Matt Wagner is going to be doing a new Vertigo ongoing series about Madame Xanadu, and it does look like the Phantom Stranger
I'll
is
buy
going
anything
to
Matt
pop
Wagner
up in that occasionally.
Pretty much.
DC, this is kind of a big deal for DC. They got the rights to the comic book series for Heroes.
Big shocker there.
You know it was going to go to somebody. You just didn't know.
So is this all those? Are they like?
It's gonna be
a
wild.
What it looks like
because they released a bunch of comics,
they're printing
right?
the online
yeah.
comics.
That, right. That's what it looked like. They're just reprinting the material we've already seen online.
Into a publisher.
I'm sure it won't take long
trade.
To start. Just like Smallville got, you know, they published Smallville comics
Did
based
they?
On the TV show. Yeah,
oh, I didn't know that.
I don't think it'll be long.
And it is, interestingly enough, it's not going to be under the DC imprint. It will be Wildstorm.
I know people that read that comic because of the show, but don't read any other comics. Won't
what?
Read it. The Hero Online one.
Have you punched them?
Well, why is that bad for them?
Well, it's not bad, but it's like, why would
you aren't they
then?
Reading Scotty?
Well, it's online. I mean,
yeah, New X-Men.
Well, I don't need them to read mine. Like,
well, no,
I don't need people to that because they only read, like, I don't, you guys all think it's all or none.
My point is, I mean, it's like, Because this is a comic based on a TV show that they like, they'll check it out.
Right.
But they won't check out any other comics because they're comic books. I mean, it's illogical in some
ways. Well, I mean, to be fair, like for people that are watching shows and like already, pretty much people are pretty hip to online now. You know, yeah. I mean,
and they're invested in the characters
sure.
already.
But so they're going over, and it doesn't take much to go like watch a show and then go over to a website and read some comics. Yeah. You know,
say it's not that hard for people to go online and. Go read the comics. You haven't met my parents.
What are they reading? Are they reading? Are they
full knowledge
Heroes?
Of my parents?
15 million.
Are they watching
like,
Heroes?
How many millions of people watched Heroes and have no idea that it has anything to do with comic books? I mean that. I mean that's also.
Oh sure.
It's not like Heroes. Not like all 15 million people are going to go buy this Wildstorm book because they're like every. It's not that easy to believe. It's not.
No.
Because. My parents watch Heroes, and they also watch.
No, I'm not talking about
my
everybody. That
Sorry, I wasn't actually talking about the print comic book. I'm saying that for them to read it online wasn't that big a deal.
No, it is a huge deal.
Well, my parents don't watch Heroes. I don't know about your parents. Are more
my
advanced than my parents.
Every
parents.
Hit.
On TV.
You know?
My mom does.
Every show.
Like how many people will go? Think of how many millions of people watched Heroes.
No, I was
how
talking specifically about now? The people that watch it and read the online.
Because
comic.
There's an investment already with the characters. The rest of the comics, I don't think they're not reading them because they're comics. They're not reading because they don't know anything about them. I mean, they don't understand
Take
that
a
they. They don't understand they exist.
Take a leap of faith.
I mean, Heroes is on TV every single night wherever you live in America.
It just amazes me sometimes that it's like this wall that people just won't get past.
Well, or they don't know that there's a place
comic
past
books?
The wall.
I mean, I understand the
Remember
the
how
basic
many people are far
like
away from shops? You guys always forget that.
But you can find comics in Borders. You can find comics in Target. You can. I mean, they may not be
but
as accessible as when we were kids.
But think of people that watch Heroes that are going to read the online. I guarantee... It's
this is all
10%.
Speculation, by the way. Nobody,
yeah,
we
know.
Don't know
yeah,
anything.
Yeah.
None of us
no,
know anything.
Really, honestly, think of the millions of people in America. How many millions of people that watch Heroes?
People in the world
actually went to the online site to read it. I guarantee it's not. I guarantee it's not
50%. Oh no, certainly not.
Chris is about ready to blow his stack. We should probably move on.
Let's move it.
Top of the stack.
No.
His blow his future stack.
But a writer that has turned up on Top of the Stack several times that I think we are all a little worried that he was leaving. leaving comics and going to focus more on TV,
who
has been assigned to a Marvel exclusive, and that is Mark Guggenheim.
Oh, the Googs.
The Googs.
The Googs. That's what I like to call them.
Yeah, the it seemed like the guy that was...
give him a call.
I'm
just kidding. Just kidding.
You'll have to get connected to
the... Doesn't he have a museum?
Hello,
I don't... What?
Hello.
But yeah, after Blade... canceled after 12 issues. He had a very short run on Flash, which he knew going into that. I thought he had a great run on Wolverine and a few other titles. So I'm really excited that Guggenheim is going to be getting a steady stream of work in comics.
Yeah.
Good job, Googsy.
Interesting to see what he'll be doing.
It was interesting in the story that I read about it. They asked him why he took the exclusive, because he's worked for Marvel and DC.
He said it was the eye insurance.
It would allow him to say no to projects, because there are so many projects out there that he wants to do, and he's having trouble turning stuff down. So now he's exclusive with Marvel. He has a slate of projects that he wants to do. And it's like, yep,
I know
what I'm going to be working on now, and so I don't have to be concerned about listening to pitches or
especially for someone in his position where maybe comics aren't necessarily
his bread and butter.
Yeah, because he's writing a TV series.
Looking back, he's going to be doing Wolverine, and he should just keep writing that.
Is he going to be doing Wolverine?
In the fall, he's doing Wolverine again.
Well, they announced him as one of the four writers that's going to be doing the Amazing Spider-Man comic.
But that's bullshit, because as much as I like Guggenheim, I don't love Guggenheim enough to buy three other writers' issues of... Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the whole point of it, though. I mean, that's the whole thing. Is
I love Guggenheim. I'm going to buy these $2.99 books the other 3 weeks of the month. Yeah.
Have they announced the other writers yet? Any of them?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Once again, this is Friday evening. A lot of the San Diego news has been coming in. There's going to be a lot more announcements.
We'll talk about it in a week.
And in a week, we'll catch you up on everything else.
We'll be hot then.
So our last story for this week, Terry Moore, who had been announced to do Mary Jane Loves Peter Parker. Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane. Now is going to be teaming up with
This just in from the Crank news desk.
Tell me about
Crank.
Crankenberger.
I didn't see it on the list, you said last story, and I'm like, whoa.
He forgot one.
Hold on a second. I think it's sort of a big deal. Like, Warren Ellis is on Astonishing X-Men.
Oh.
We'll be on Astonishing
X-Men. We'll be on Astonishing X-Men.
After Whedon's run is over. And
yeah, they've announced this at the end of the show.
Before, just so you know, Crank is holding up a sign that says Ellis on Astonishing.
Well, that's just because they announced the artist, too, right? Yeah, I don't remember.
Simon Bianchi.
Is it Simon or Simone?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's Italian.
Is it a guy?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's probably like Saman or something. But I'm just saying
Warren Ellis on Astonishing.
Ellis on Astonishing X-Men is kind of a big deal.
For Marvel, yeah.
I mean, considering the guy like took a very firm stance a few years ago about not liking superheroes,
Well, he doesn't like them, but he likes the money he gets for.
Yeah, he's referred to it as his whoring out stage. Sure. You know, it's
I don't know. I mean, I like Astonishing X-Men. We'll see what.
Ellis on X-Men, you're right, it is a big
I like
story.
More Ellis than I don't.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting because, like, one of the things they're introducing is, like, X-23 is going to be on the team with Wolverine.
Really?
Yeah, apparently.
I'm not canceling that fucking book.
No, I mean, that's interesting. He's going to be all weird, and she's going to be all, like, freaky like she is, and that's kind of, like, cool.
I have a weird Ellis thing with his superhero stuff. Since Authority, I just don't like any of his superhero stuff. Like, I always think it's like sort of a, like, Thunderbolts to me.
Well, it's like
just
they're making fun of superheroes.
Yeah,
rather, yeah.
Like Authority was, like, to me, it was Ellis's take on superheroes, like the ultimate take on his take on superheroes, and everything afterwards been sort of, as the English would say, a piss take.
Right.
On superheroes. Like, the Thunderbolts is a joke about
how he said what he had to say.
Yeah, and then everything after that's just been sort of.
Well, like I said,
like,
I mean, he's
he's obviously, if he said he's tired of working on superheroes, when he did work on superheroes, he's saying, look how silly this shit is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and so to read it, it's like, yeah, I don't want to read necessarily someone that hates superheroes. And
well, he's even making it out, like, in the brief interview that I read, he's making it out like it's like, well, yeah, I've reached this point in my life where I know that my career is winning and I need to go where the money is, you know, kind of thing. Like, And he's still hanging out like it's silly and a joke.
It already sold out through Diamond.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, he certainly doesn't... I don't know. He doesn't enjoy the fact that he has to write them.
I don't know, but I think it could be interesting. Because, I mean, he's at a point where he picks and chooses.
He's not going to just do this because he has to.
Warren Ellis seems like a guy to me. Like, you look at, like, his Avatar stuff. He's a guy who throws... I don't think he self-edits. He's like the Ryan Adams of comics.
He just fucking
gets published. Yeah. Everything gets thrown
his Avatar
out.
Stuff. But now,
so
four CDs
can you
this
say,
year.
Knowing that, can you say that this will not be interesting to see what happens?
No, but...
I did like the Ultimate... was it the Silver Surfer thing that he did?
I don't know.
Or Ultimate...
The Ultimate
Nightmare
Galactus,
or whatever?
Yeah, the Ultimate Extinction.
I thought that was pretty good, but that's a different world that he can be more...
I still thought that was a little... I don't know. Everything after Authority to me just seems like...
I'm curious to see, like, on the engine, like, with the ban on Superhero Talk, if he actually talks about the book on there.
He has a section now that you can talk about his superhero work. His righteous indignation only goes so far.
Yeah, it stopped once he was starting.
When he finally realized that, like, nobody really gave a shit about most of the other stuff.
The Suicide Girls only wanted to talk about the Authority.
Yeah, and tattoos.
All right, now let's move on to that last story. And it is Terry Moore and Umberto Ramos are going to be taking over Runaways.
So. Yes, they are.
So the all-star lineups keep rolling out. So
do you love them?
Umberto draws some kick-ass.
Yeah,
Runaways I saw characters. Just a little preview of it. They showed on the.
It was one of his first little sketches he did before he did the. He did like a little 4 or 5 page thing a couple months back. But I think for me, that's the kind of book he should be doing. I mean, he is fantastic at younger kids and. I think he's done all types of Marvel stuff, but I think he'll knock this one out of the park. I think it'll change people's. A lot of people are kind of warm, hot and cold with him as well, but because he draws all
cartoony.
Yeah, all that cartoon.
Well, long necks.
I think it's the book that'll suit. He's very expressive.
Yeah.
It's all about expression. And I think that book is a good opportunity because people aren't walking into that book being like. Wolverine has to be proportioned in this way,
and his costume has to be a certain way.
That Velociraptor doesn't look right.
I hope that he stays on this book. I mean, it's rare to see artists stay on books long. And it's not necessarily because of the artist's choice or not, but this is a book where I hope he just stays on it for a long time.
And Terry Moore, I think, is an interesting selection. Yeah, I mean, a guy that. Did his own self-published thing for so long and was had a pretty good following on that stuff to sort of choose one of this and then he's doing like you said Spider-Man
was Mary Jane. I think Runaways is a really nice fit for Terry Moore.
I love the book. I've fallen in love with that book. I didn't really pick it up initially when it came out, and I picked it up in hardcover since, and I'm like halfway through the second hardcover, and I really enjoy the book. It's just kind of fun to. Not know what to expect out of it because I don't know the characters.
It's not that often that that Marvel or DC put out a team of new characters that
just new characters. Period.
Yeah, that quickly become part of the comics landscape, and the Runaways are part of the comics landscape now. And that's
stop using the word rents when they've heard of their parents.
They're rents.
They're rents.
It's because they're hip.
That's how I refer to my parents. That's how I call my parents. Show.
The
kids
parents.
Are using shit like that.
I call my dad D and my mom M. My rents D
too
and
cool.
M.
Zero cool. That's zero cool, man.
We'll follow up the rest of the San Diego and post San Diego Con news next week. So that will wrap up our Wire to Wire Comfort news. That means it is time for Top of the Stack.
Top of the Snack.
Top of the stack.
That's right, it's Top of the Stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. Mr. Caters, back for Top of the Stack.
I forgot what my Top of the Stack
is. My Top of the Stack is actually something that's been out for a while. It is Box Office Poison by Alex Robinson. When I was in Wisconsin Dells, sitting by a lake, instead of enjoying the sun, I was in the shade reading a graphic novel with my girlfriend saying, can't you put that down for one goddamn minute? I read this 600-page graphic novel in 2 days.
Wow. Jesus.
Yeah, because I was so engrossed by it. It was fantastic.
So it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's what I love about this book is the fact that in every single character in the book, and it's about people sort of like in their 20s, like getting used to the adult world, as we would call it, and sort of figuring out their place and, you know, how you operate in the real world, quote unquote. There's a little bit in each character that you can identify with. It's not just, there's not one character who's a complete ass, and there's not one character who's like a great guy. Everyone's got like their horrible traits and their great traits, and you watch these people sort of go over a couple of months of their life, and you get really attached to them, and you want to see what happens to them. Alex Robinson's art, there's a lot of superhero comic artists that could learn a lesson from him about how to make people look different from one another. Like, there's no confusion in box office poison about who is who. You never like have to be like,
who said
the blonde guy?
It's all about shapes.
The blonde guy?
Yeah. Each character personality gets a distinct shape.
Yeah, and there's a character that shows up from Trix, his other graphic novel, that shows up that before her name's even said, I said, oh, that's so and so from Trix. And then when they introduced her, I was like,
it was.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a unique thing in, I think, comic books, really, honestly, to like have that identifiable of characters.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Was this published as issues before, or is this a
self-contained?
I think it's just a graphic novel from Top Shelf.
Nice,
just came out. And, it's
that he worked on for
like 4 years.
Yeah, I mean it's
which of course brings up the compare and contrast to say a Blankets.
Oh, well, I mean, I think I put Blankets as the top of the stack previously as well.
You're getting all artsy.
I get artsy on everyone. Another thing I loved about this book is that the end... I enjoyed Trix. Trix had a very neat ending where everything sort of tied in together, and this book has a very sort of messy ending. There's no... like, so-and-so knows so-and-so, and everyone's life all runs together, and everyone sort of ties in together. Like, some people end up with really shitty lives, and some people end up with really great lives, and you don't really see it coming until the end.
It's kind of like life.
It also has a very nice comic book theme, where one of the threads is about a comic book creator who created a character like Batman, got fucked over, and one of the main characters is his, like, inker, like, his assistant who convinces him to, like, argue with the company about getting more money because his character's making billions of dollars, you know. So it has that sort of strong comic book theme, but also has a very, you know, real-life aspect to it. So I loved it, and I devoured it. So I think, you know, pick it up.
What's it room for? Yeah. What's the retail on that?
It's like $29.95, but I got it from the Top Shelf sale for like $15.
Sweet.
But pick it up if you can.
Mr. Young, is it time for another Preacher Minute?
Preacher.
Yep. Preacher Trade 3.
Good.
Low.
Done.
I have like a life.
I'm just
and
he has a girlfriend that he has to keep happy.
Yeah, business to take care of.
Creating things.
I'm almost finished with the third trade. I got like, I think, one issue left in the third trade. But I got through the main story of the third trade. I think the last one's just kind of an off-tail, like a origin of Cassidy. But, yeah, I enjoyed this trade. I seem to find myself on each trade really enjoying half of it, and then half of it feeling a little like, it's so-so. You know what I mean? Like, it bounces back and forth.
Is it like first half? Second half, or is it just like
doesn't
sort of
matter.
Different parts?
Yeah, it's
of it.
Different parts because it seems like, and I talked to you about this, where it's one of the books where while there might have been an overall story in mind because they didn't know how long it would go, it'd be one of those things where they just kind of leap off and go somewhere and do this real quick, and then I'm like, well, I thought we were on this main, you know, I thought we were on this mission to go seek out God and you know. Do
but
little
the timeline in it is strange too.
Yeah,
you never know quite how much time has passed.
Yeah, how much time's passed. But I really enjoy, you know, in this trade, they went off, you know, you're kind of at the end of the second trade, you're introduced to Hairstar and the Grail. And then the third trade is a little bit more, you know, telling you what this Grail is, basically kind of this all-knowing, all-controlling kind of religious group that, you know, controls the world, I guess, you know, all the aspects of things. And it's ran by this big fat motherfucker all-father guy, and it's pretty sweet because he's so fat people have to carry him and shit. So that's,
I want my life to be like that one day.
It's kind of funny. And then, and I guess, like, the one that they're, the little kid that they're, the Grail is...
Earthspace?
No.
Zion, the last
one. Yeah, there's, like, the chosen one. Like, yeah, he's... And he's just like, because they inbreed, right? The Grail, the bloodline.
Trying to keep the bloodline pure.
Keep the bloodline pure, so they just keep inbreeding through generations. So, of course, he's, you know, fucking retarded.
2,000 years of inbreeding.
Yeah,
not inbreeding.
He's just like, no, be hum, no, no. You know, and he's always just mumbling shit. But,
I identified with him.
Did you? Mumbling shit. Yeah. You get more of, you know, just kind of Cassidy seems to always get his ass kicked all the time, which is to me like a good departure from most of the time when people. I mean, I'm still at a point where I'm like, why the fuck is there a vampire in this story? You know,
he's
like,
kind of like a vampire.
He hides under a tarp in the back of the truck.
I just can't figure out, like, this book is like, it's this book, but then like with a vampire. It's like having a hot dog and then like
there's a slice of pizza,
like spaghetti for your side. Like, it just doesn't work right, you know. But
it's Cassidy. And it's cool.
I do like the fact that Cassidy, because usually when a vampire's in a story, somehow the vampire is always a badass,
right?
That beats everybody up. Somehow he always knows fucking kung fu.
He's an Irish drunk.
Yeah, I like the fact that this guy just happens to be a vampire, but it doesn't make him any more of a badass. He's just, because he's always getting his ass beat and he's always fucking up. And the only part that I'm getting to be a little over is the tulip aspect, which is the girl, his ex-girlfriend, who is now, is, you know, they've gotten back together now that he's, you know, a preacher badass. But that is one of my downsides, is I'm not that interested in it. I actually usually like a good
relationship
Our line through a story, but in this case, I just find it to be boring and filler. I don't, it doesn't excite me at all. I don't, because it seems like, well, they're together and that's fine. And I'm kind of hoping that something happens with it. I'm sure you guys know if it does or doesn't. But part of me always feels like with the dialogue that they write for those two doesn't necessarily work sometimes. The way that we talk to each other sometimes doesn't work in written form.
Right.
So he's always, like, before and after every sentence, he's always saying baby. And so I always feel very weird reading it because he's like, baby, what are you doing? Just hold on, baby.
Because you're always reading it out loud, too.
Yeah, because I'm in bed and like Casey, I'm trying to drown out Casey's Harry Potter voice.
Baby. Let's go pick up that vampire we hang out with.
Yeah. Baby. Like, there's aspects of the story that I think are like, wow, this is really deep, and there's, like, this big conspiracy, and he's finding, you know, he's looking for God, and God is like, tell him, you know, he comes to Cassidy and tells Cassidy, like, tell your fucking friend to stop looking for me. So God's kind of a badass, but he's scared of Custer. But then every now and then, like, something gets thrown in where you're just like, what? Like,
yeah.
What? Like, why is this part of this? Like I said, like, the vampire thing is very weird to me. It doesn't explain why, the Grail is actually this all-knowing, I mean, they know everything in the universe, but then they can't figure out, why doesn't this person die when we fill him with bullets? And I would think, well...
He might be a vampire.
Yeah.
And he's brought that up.
Yeah, you know, he's afraid.
Is he a vampire? No.
No, that's fucking
fake. Vampire?
Yeah. Vampires are fake. I mean, we got an angel tied up in the basement. You know, like...
No way vampires are real.
Yeah, that guy has wings and shit, and he's tied up in our basement, but vampires?
So did you like it?
No, I did like it. But I have to be honest there are parts of it that I'm finding to, not that I dislike it, I just can't figure out what purpose some of it serves or or is it going to go anywhere? But for the most part, I really enjoy.
Yeah, I don't know if that ever really changes throughout this series.
Does this have the Cassidy like origin story?
Yeah, I haven't read that part yet. That's the very last tale in the book.
It's one of my favorite issues.
Yeah. So I actually stopped. I was getting ready to finish it, and I realized I didn't have the fourth trade yet. So I was like, fuck, there's not enough for me.
Yeah.
I won't move on, so I started reading something else just to wait
would
and get
like
the fourth one.
Would you like a Wizard of Oz book? They have 14 of them.
Yeah, I heard you bought. Yeah, you
yeah,
got
I bought those. All of them.
I think part of like, especially in the early parts of the series, it seems like some of those stories that seem like non sequiturs that don't make much sense are almost put in so that he can write stories about that stuff later that maybe make a little more. You know, that tie.
I would hope that the plan.
Wasn't there a mini off of that? Like the Killer of Saints?
Killer of Saints had a mini.
There was a mini of
that,
right?
Yeah.
Saint of
Killers.
But there's definitely
periods and just certain, like I said, certain stories that are like, what the fuck? What does that have to do with anything?
Right.
And myself, personally, I kind of enjoyed that, because I read it like you were reading, and it was just like, I went from one trade to the next to the next, and I read them all, like, in a week.
And I would say, like, this would probably be another book. Which, this is a reason that you guys were like, oh, you read slow, because last week I didn't have one. Because last week I was...
I think you read perfect.
Trying to read... I was trying to reread Preacher, or Watchmen.
Yeah, well, let's not get into that.
For the second time, and comic book people will hate me, but I...
Don't say it.
Can't fucking read it. I'm so bored. I stopped again halfway through. And I'm bored to fucking
death.
What did
I tell you today? I said I completely
He goes,
see that.
You might like it. You might like it better if, like, I come over and then we go to a website that has all the, you annotations. Know, like, annotations of it. And I was like,
I was joking.
Yeah, nah, I'll pass. I'll pass.
Good Lord.
I was reading Preacher.
It's better at my house.
It's better at your house.
I was reading Preacher monthly, like, up to where I quit.
Yeah.
Like, because I never finished Preacher that time. But, yeah, I was reading Preacher, like, monthly, and monthly it worked pretty well.
Really?
You know? It was maddening a little bit.
Well, I would say, I would feel like monthly there'd be parts where I'd get and just be like, what? I mean, it's so weird, because I don't have a monthly mentality. I mean, I truly don't read monthlies at all, so...
This was back in whatever the fuck it was, like 94, 95? When that started?
Is it 94, 95, 96? Yeah.
Like, so I was reading it back then, and it was like, it made sense monthly as far as, like, I can remember.
I would like I think I mentioned this before, but there was just the one hurdle of when Custer, you know, kind of goes through the thing in the second trade with his grandmother, where there's just that corner he turns where he goes from being like, I liked the character when it was written where he knew he had this, the voice of God, you know, which the word of God, which he could basically, you know, make anybody do anything he wants. But he had a badass side to him, but he also had a reasonable side to him as well. So it to me, it created a nice character where he still had a little bit of constraint to it. Now it's... I don't know whether the series got successful and they felt like, let's just go hog wild. And now he, you know, I just feel there's no character in there that has any sort of restraint on any level. You know what I mean? Like, the girl is, she wants, you know, I'll shoot people and fuck you and do anything. And now I'm a preacher, but that doesn't matter because I fuck you and I'm going to kill you. And every single character is the same level of hardcore. That none of them seem hardcore.
There's no subtlety in this series.
No.
There really isn't. I don't really.
Well, I mean, that's Garth Ennis. It's pretty raw.
Yeah, that's Preacher trade number three is. I can't even say it's my top of the stack. It's my only book on the fucking stack.
It's totally hot. Totally raw.
Yeah, if you like ass totally rape and.
If you think you might like it, then get it.
Yeah.
Not
then fuck off.
Are you hardcore?
Mr. Salazar.
Are you hardcore enough? My top of the stack was a book I really didn't expect to like a whole lot because I hadn't really paid attention. It's Annihilation Conquest Star-Lord number one, and it's one of the many mini-series off of the Annihilation event. I didn't read the initial Annihilation event, but then I picked up like the Nova one, and I picked up something else, and I kind of liked it, so I figured I'd pick this up and just check it out. Basically, it's a pretty kind of classic story as far as that goes. It's basically like the Dirty Dozen. Star-Lord is a character, if you don't know, he was sort of a minor intergalactic hero at one time, and he ended up losing his abilities because of a choice he made to sort of sacrifice the thousands of people to save millions. But since then, he was part of the original Annihilation event, whatever it was called, and he had worked with the Kree world and Ronan the Accuser or whatever. At this point, he is, and it happened actually in the Annihilation Conquest Primer, whatever the fuck it was. He was working with the Kree homeworld to, like, update their security systems. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, he somehow allowed this virus to take over their technology, and it basically took over the entire Kree world.
They don't have McAfee?
I don't know. But,
really? You use that?
At this point...
It's a really bad IT story, isn't it?
I know, it's so fucking Christ.
This story starts up after that event, and he's basically sent on a mission to try and reverse the effects of this. There's some small chance that they could attack this one little part of this alien technology, but in doing so, they have to be sort of low tech. They can't use technology because it'll just be taken over. So they decide on, they want to send someone who's sort of expendable, and they decide on him, and they put together a team of Kree prisoners together to do this mission. And it was just sort of, like I said, it was sort of like a Dirty Dozen, putting the band together issue of getting to know these different kind of funny, quirky prisoners that they're putting on this team. And at the end of it, I mean, you're just waiting for the next issue for them to go on the mission. But it was just kind of fun and interesting, and I was really surprised at how much I enjoyed it. It was funny. The art was a little different, and I thought perfect for the book because it gave you almost like a Frank Quietly feel of where things are realistic enough to be a little more gritty, but at the same time, simple enough to allow for, you know, it's all sorts of...
Timothy Green II, who drew the Aeon Flux book that Mike Kennedy wrote.
And oh, okay.
I think that looks like Aeon Flux.
Oh, all right. But like I said, so that's basically, you get to learn.
Shit. Can I go home with you?
You get to learn about the prisoners that they put together, and you have like this one bug character who was put in prison because he had sex with a Kree female, and I guess that's against the law and Kree law. A Shiar character, and then Rocket Raccoon is in it. He's one of the
really?
Rocket Raccoon.
No shit.
Captain Universe and some big tree creature. Forms a bond with Rocket Raccoon.
I like trees.
So they're going to be sent off on this mission. And like I said, it was just fun and interesting, and I really enjoyed it. So there you go.
Cool.
That was it.
Good job.
Sweet. Thanks.
Crank, what is your top of the stack?
Life. Actually, I'm going to totally do something I'm not really comfortable with doing.
Life? No.
And
you're going to pick a book you haven't read. total
no, I'm going to... promote something that I had involvement with, which I'm not comfortable doing most of the time, which is Hackslash.
Hey!
The current arc of Hackslash is involving a demon heavy metal band, which, of course, I'm doing this by promoting the fact that we did music for it.
Acid washed.
Exactly. Yeah, the current arc is like... Cassie and Vlad go up against this demon heavy metal band. They figure out that the band is luring people into this other dimension for sacrifices by being virgins. Which, of course, both Cassie and Vlad both are, you know, so they're both suckered into it. Vlad, though, gets rejected because he's not a hot chick.
Oh.
So he's left into the tender mercies of a groupie. An aging groupie that, you know, was following the band and now gets rejected. But the current issue that's out now, which is the second issue in the arc, actually, is really fun. I mean, Emily Stone... Crap, am I getting her name wrong?
No, that's right.
Is that right?
Yeah, you got it. Go.
Emily is awesome. Like, she's doing these really great things where she just knows how to draw, like... You know, good stuff where it doesn't turn into, like, exploitation at any point, you know? Like, she draws characters really real, you know? And very, like,
she draws like very titillating scenes, but they're nice, you know, and not nice. Again,
pleasant.
Totally not nice, but acceptable. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not like, oh, I'm a guy, I'm totally drawing this girl like the way I want to see her. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just like real, I guess. You know, and
Tim Seeley doing all the scripting on it.
Yeah, Seeley. Mm-hmm. Tim's totally doing it all. And Emily, and it's a fun book, and it's got this heavy metal band, and me and several other people that are sort of related to the comic book industry did music for it.
What?
And you have a MySpace page.
Based on the band, yes. It's myspace.com/acidwashed, as in the present tense of washed.
Past tense of washed.
It would be acid washed. Washing.
Acid yes. Washing. Will acid wash
washed yeah. Washed
acid wash band
acidwashband.com yeah or
no myspace.com/acidwashband
yes myspace
glad I'm here
yes I am totally but so we did this music for this because Tim actually drew into the comic a scene where the band was doing a show and like the whole lyrics were laid out and all that crap. We looked at that and we were like, at the last minute, we were like, you know, well, we should just make music for this, right? You know, and we did it. And it's
who's it, who did it? Who put it? Who sang? Who played? Who did what?
I wrote the riffs. Patrick Brower from Grand Prix Comics. He sings in, you know, cheesy metal bands anyway.
Which is perfect for this.
Yeah, right. He sings in those anyway. So he was the singer for it, and Mike Norton. You know, which he's on here a lot, so I'm sure I don't have to explain him.
We know of Mike. Right.
And this guy named Nick he works in Devil's Due offices, but he works for the creative end of the company or whatever, like the, you know, commercial art, whatever.
More market, yeah.
But he played guitar on it, and we did it in like 14 hours, maybe. did like two songs, so it was a lot of fun.
Sweet.
They are fun. They're hilarious.
And, they're silly. They're very silly.
they're good.
But, so that's my top of the stack, because this arc is shaping up to be really fun.
All right, I'll finish this up. My top of the stack, I have the obligatory top of the stack. It has to be mentioned, because I've been waiting for all year long.
Oh, good.
Queen and Country number 32 came out this week. It is the end of Queen and Country Volume 1, so check that out, all you Queen and Country fan. So Chris Somni art, Greg Rucker writing, it's fantastic stuff. But my real top of the stack this week is the Immortal Iron Fist number 7. It is an interlude episode, as I like to call it, in between the first arc and what is going to be continuing off of that. This is a one-shot story that kind of goes back into time through all of the
back.
Immortal Iron
back,
Fist.
Back, back. To the
and
future.
This is the last female to carry the Immortal Iron Fist title, and I'm going to butcher lots of names here, but the story is called The Pirate Queen of Pinga Bay?
Pinghai
Bay. And get right to the point, really fun standalone story about...
That's a really disgusting front page.
where she has the glass cherry in her mouth.
Glass cherry?
Yeah, you'd have to read the story.
what the fuck is that? Damn.
You know, young girl, basically kind of a street rat. It has to kind of fight for her survival, gets semi-adopted, and is trained to become the next Iron Fist, at which point, you know, she does. There's a love story with her and a village fisherman, and it really plays against the two worlds that they're in, his love of a very simple life of a fisherman and her life as an immortal Iron Fist, and what that...
Those two things just don't go together.
And they don't go together, and it's what she has to do to try and keep that love and also her duty as the Iron Fist, and what he has to do to, you know, to keep the relationship but also be true to himself. And it's a matter of these two totally different worlds colliding and trying to hold together. And you know, the story goes on. It's a great classic love story.
I love the narration because it showed a certain it showed a certain sense of humor that I don't think you see the big two show a lot of times. Where it's not very it was a very self-aware narration, like sort of joking about some of the humor behind it.
It's almost like the Princess Bride type narration.
Yeah, which you don't see a lot from, you wouldn't see that from Marvel or DC a lot, but you see that in this story, which I loved the story. I thought it was beautiful because I'm a fisherman and my girlfriend is a kung fu expert. And we were having huge problems, so I had to read this.
And another fun thing about it, they had four artists working on it. Oh, no, four, five.
God.
Five artists.
Is that fun or lazy?
You know, it was cool. You liked it.
I know, I did.
It was fun to see the different art styles throughout.
Up a bit.
So anyway,
Jesus.
Queen and Country, of course, but because you guys would have scoffed at me about that.
No, would never have mentioned anything.
No.
Immortal Iron Fist.
Didn't even know it came out.
Number 7.
No,
very, very good.
Well,
enjoy.
I didn't see the. You showed it to me just before you were.
Crank's awake again.
Mentioning it, but what? Yeah, bear.
Bear attack.
Bear attack.
Watch out, Crank!
You know, I got chased them through it, and the art was pretty awesome.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
I mean, he has two packs of cigarettes in his pocket.
Give me a smoke.
Crank does Crank does not fuck around.
I will take care of our top of the stack. That's what we read last week. Now we're going to take a look at what is coming out this week. It is time for Future Stacks. Future Stacks. Mr. Salazar,
what?
It is time for Future Stacks.
Yes.
What did you pick out of the pile of possibles for this Wednesday?
Run through them a few. All new Adam number 14. Some more Gail Simone and Mike Norton goodness. Part 3 of the Hunt for Ray Palmer. Metal Man number 1.
I'm excited about that.
Good.
The trade, not the issue though. But
I'm going to buy when it comes trade. Out. I'm going to buy the issues and the trade and the hardcover.
It's a
Duncan Rillo's awesome.
8 issue miniseries.
Who's writing that?
Duncan Rillo.
Duncan Rillo's doing it all.
Yeah, all of it.
He's doing everything.
Yeah, he's the man.
He stapled it. He put it together. He pounded it.
Outsiders 5 of a Kind Week 1. I thought this was kind of interesting concept. I hadn't heard about this or whatever, but the Outsiders, they're doing 5 issues with 5 top creative teams, 1 team per week. And the first one is Nightwing Boomerang is the team up. Not a great team up first, but Gutsville number 1 second printing. I know a lot of people on the forum and stuff had said they had missed it originally, and then Tom
picked it. It's awesome.
Gutsville is awesome.
When's Gutsville 2 due out?
I don't care.
When it is on,
I guess we'll hear about it on Future Stacks.
Future Stacks a week before.
Punisher number 50. This is the double size issue with Howard Chaykin art. So buy that. Some trades. Batman War Drums. They're re-releasing that, I guess. I don't know why. Batman Year One Deluxe. But they are.
You didn't have to fucking read
stupid fucking company.
They're doing a Batman Year One, another soft cover release.
Now this
I don't know why they're calling it a deluxe.
Is it going to have some extra stuff that the last trade and the last hardcover didn't have in it?
Lords of reproductions of original pencils, script pages, promotional art, unseen Mazzucchelli Batman art, and more.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Okay.
Green Lantern Wanted hardcover. Or Green Lantern Wanted Hal Jordan hardcover. This collects Green Lantern 14 through 20. Invincible Volume, Ultimate Collection Volume 3.
Sweet.
Good stuff. Thunderbolts.
I would wait, though, for the second of the
Super Monsters.
No, those are too fucking big.
They're so awesome.
Too fucking big to read in bed, dude.
Broke into my house.
Get a bigger bed.
I fucking beat him to death.
My art drawing table got dirty, so I just drew on that fucking book.
Thunderbolts presents Zemo Born Better. This was Fabian Nicieza and Tom Grumman. I really liked that miniseries. It was kind of an interesting take.
Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, Nicieza.
I never knew.
Nicieza.
I'm guessing.
We're gonna make
I don't
a
know
bold
for sure. I never talked to him.
Say yeah.
Ultimate X-Men Volume 2.
The sales
Ultimate
so solid
Collection
that name.
Collects Ultimate. Yeah, I do suck. Ultimate X-Men issues 13 through 25. Wisdom trade paperback. This was an interesting book, but I tried to read it in singles, and I started, and I got like halfway through it, and just gave up.
It's
and
too English.
It. Yeah, it's very English. But I liked it. But I was I,
saying
I'm waiting for the trade.
Soccer.
Scalped Volume 1.
Yes. Yeah.
Jason Aaron.
Finally.
Jock covers. Guerrero.
$9.99.
That's awesome.
Pick it yeah, up. Absolutely.
Finally.
And Alan Moore with Complete Wildcats.
Fuck that one. Fuck that one.
And that's you. It. That's Future Stacks.
Wow, that was
Future cool. Stacks.
Just a few things. Just a
Get
few things.
Get on top of Future Stacks and write it.
That was only like two X's on that one, not three. That was a short.
No,
one.
Because there was some good. There was some fucking
good
gems
stuff,
in there.
Some goodins.
So yeah. I say,
please check out.
Now I want to make the disclaimer now. I can't guarantee any of this will actually be in your.
Yeah,
because
the
shop.
Last time I got excited that a book that I wanted was
it's
on Future Stacks.
It's your company,
Stacks.
Man. Talk to the man in charge.
All right, real quick, we've got listener voicemails, we've got listener emails.
Just do them.
They're loading up, and we're going to save
quick.
Those. We're going to move them to next
Burn
week,
through
and we're looking at an all-listener
Can I read the frappers?
Yeah, let's do the frappers.
Frappers. The Roaring Twenties.
Sal just wants to read shit.
Joe P. from Los Angeles, California said, love Around Comics, funny and informative. Maybe not always. Two bit me from Romeoville. Hey, close by, Illinois. My iPod oozes sex every week when I listen. I think it's broken.
You're doing it wrong.
No, that's our enhanced.
I think he sent it to the wrong site. Sal has two sites. One is doyoulovemycock.com.
No, it's true. I'm fucking everyone's ears right now.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Sean Collins from Newcastle upon Tyne. England, UK. Best podcast out there. Working. Why did I do that? Working through them all. I didn't even like mean to do that. It just
Harry
sort of,
Potter.
Yeah, I think it's because I've been reading my daughter Harry Potter with
best
the voices.
Best
so
podcast
like,
out there.
Best Who's podcast something? Out there. Working through them all. Top stuff, guys.
For fuck's sake.
Dark Coupon from Canyon Country, California. Am I so nerdy that I actually did this?
Yes, you are.
Apparently so.
You are, and we read it online.
This is my next one's my favorite.
Yeah, I didn't get this one at all. Niels from Acton, Massachusetts. Oh my God, tits! That's all. He's
well, tits is that's a, he might be younger because my brother's younger, and anything
tits,
that's cool
that's
is like, oh, that's the tits.
Tits.
Even
tits.
My dad.
Your dad?
Yeah. Because my dad wants to be cool, you know.
He's trying to
hang
tits,
with my brother. Man. He's like,
that's because
you see that movie? It's, oh, it's fucking tits.
It's
tits. Is actually an old thing.
Yeah, it
well,
is
yeah,
an
it's
old.
Yeah, it's red. It's coming
back.
Yeah,
come
it's
back. He missed it.
It's like the 80s.
Interesting.
Look up tits on Wikipedia.
Just gonna come.
And the next one is NDSU Bison. From Fargo, North.
He likes Street Fighter.
Ultimate right? Fantastic Four rocks.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that
is
the North
college,
Dakota
Southern
State University.
State University Bisons and probably the Bisons.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Marino from Pittsburgh, PA. You should each pick one character you think is a Skrull for the next podcast.
Scotty.
Tom.
Scotty's a Skrull.
Nah, motherfuckers.
I think it's Aunt May's a Skrull. That's how she's gonna die in the next issue of Amazing. But it won't really be her.
Ooh. She'll come back.
Spencer from Long Beach, California. Greetings and salutations, oh great and noble mic jockeys of the Midwest.
Yeah, we drink a lot of milk.
Not no, milk I, jockeys.
I'm in the Midwest, motherfucker.
Not many people know this, but every show I drink a gallon of whole milk.
You can't.
No, you don't. You drink a gallon of beer.
I can, but it takes
you
five
can't
fucking
drink,
hours.
You can't drink a gallon in an hour. Isn't that the thing? You can't drink a gallon of milk.
My brother did that.
Did he do it successfully?
I threw up.
All right.
Watching him do it.
Speaking of throwing up successfully, what are we doing next?
iTunes reviews. Oh. Everyone, thank you.
Eric
if you listen to the show.
Fell.
You know, this is
well.
My favorite.
Smarty Pants 322.
Mm-hmm.
NDSU, North
Bison.
Dakota State University Bison.
Noted.
Matt Camp, I might do your taxes, I don't know. DJ4 and Spencer D197.
Oh, where'd the Opus go?
Disappeared.
The weird thing is, these are two background androids in Star Wars Episode 4 that not many people know about. They are two homophobic
Good Lord.
Androids that hate C-3PO and R2-D2 because of their ambiguous relationship. I just made that.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, if you enjoyed that
fucking
sort of
A, man.
Tomfoolery.
Tomfoolery.
It's a new podcast, Tomfoolery.
You can check out more Tomfoolery at aroundcomics.com. We post next week's topic on Tuesdays at our forum.
Or whenever.
Remember, you can also visit us at Comic Space and MySpace.
Yes.
We also have a wiki.
Go ahead.
Thanks to Dan C. Papercut, who has developed a fabulous wiki site all about the show at http://aroundcomics.pbwiki.com/. It's all about us, and it's almost as horrifyingly boring as this is.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. You can find more great podcasts at comicspodcasts.com.
Sal, who sponsors this episode?
Borders, and sink your teeth into the story that introduced the world to a new... Anita Blake Vampire Hunter. Get your copy of Guilty Pleasures by Laurel. Is it Laurel?
Laurel
K. Hamilton at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the tastiest fantasy novels.
I got
and quite the fine mocha frappuccinos.
I got bit by a fat, ugly vampire.
Find a store near you. They don't exist.
I jumped on a grenade.
At borderstores.com.
We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809.
Do something good. All right, I'd like to...
Instead of wasting your life like you have been.
Losers.
I'd like to thank everyone for being here. Sal, Scotty, Tom... I think Crank's passed out in the bathroom.
No, he's fighting another...
He just walked in naked.
He's fighting a pig.
Should we scan our in... impromptu show notes?
Yeah.
No.
I want to thank Mark for hosting us, as always. Come back on Thursday for our episode on comic conventions and some of our tips and tricks for making it a good convention experience for you. Scotty does a great section on sketches and how to do that. We talked to Mark about dealing with dealers. That'll be on Thursday. Send in those emails for our all-email episode next week.
It's gonna be sweet.
We'll be back then. In the meantime...
Go fuck yourself.
In between the 90 bottles of beer on the table.
We'll be everywhere in...
And around comics.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, babe. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my left alone? I know that you don't love me. One more time.
I'm totally a virgin.
I've had sex with, like, 458 girls.
That's funny. I've had anal with 459, but no vaginal intercourse. I'm still technically a virgin. Keep going.
Wait.
Don't stop. Come on, get it out.
That's what she said. Oh.
I'll take over.
No. Well, that's pretty cool, but I've had 45 accidental homosexual encounters.
Interesting. I've had over 2 billion monosexual encounters.
Wow, that's pretty crazy, but I've had 3 intentional bestiality encounters.
Well, that's good, but I've had sex with God.
Oh, well, I have not, so I think you win.
God was driving a bitchin' Camaro.